It's lovely to see each and every one that's joined us this evening again for the preaching of the gospel. We make you very welcome, not only tonight, but we are glad to see you, but also every night through the remainder of the week. Has been announced, 8 p.m., and you're very welcome. And you can see the hall is large and the seats are many, and we would love to see the hall well filled. Now, I'd like to read, please, a few portions. Firstly, in the Psalms, we're going to just dot about a bit tonight. Psalms, please. First of all, Psalm 77 for our first reading. And I want you to just see if you might just pick up on a little recurring phrase that will feature in these verses that we'll read together. Psalm 77, verse 13, and it says this, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, who is so great a God? Who is so great a God as our God?" So great a God. Now please, back to Exodus. Exodus and chapter 32. And we're just picking up one verse again. Exodus chapter 32. And we're reading in verse 21. And Moses is speaking here to his brother, and it says this, "And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" So great a sin. Now we're going to go back to the Psalms. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And three, and we'll read from verse 8. It's a lovely psalm, and we'll just take time to just read a few verses from it. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For," this is the verse we want to get to, "as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." And a final verse in the New Testament now, Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews and chapter 2 and verse 3. And here it says this, poses a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And we know that God will be pleased to add his blessing upon the reading afresh of his most precious word tonight. Now, I don't intend to speak for long. I shall speak for 10, 15 minutes. And if I go over that, you can tell me off afterwards. I'll let you do that. But I just want to speak very simply concerning some of these things that we have read together. Yesterday, as we set out into this series of gospel meetings, We sought to set out the reason for why we are here. And we set out that we are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to preach the word. To preach the word of God. To preach the Lord Jesus. And so we spent a bit of time just looking at the pages from which we preach and the person who we preach, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And we spoke a little bit about the prospect that we're preaching, and that you can be forgiven of sins, and you can have peace with God, and you can have eternal life through faith in his Son. Well, tonight we just want to think just about something of the greatness of the message that we are preaching. Indeed, there have been, as we look back in modern history, many a great message that has been proclaimed. You might, I was going to say you might remember, I suspect not, but you might remember from school days at least, looking back in history to Winston Churchill, as there in the 1940s, he could echo that battle cry, "We shall fight on the beaches," and all the rest of it. A great speech, a great message. Maybe some of you might remember this, in the 1960s, when Martin Luther King could speak a great speech there in Washington, "I have dreamed a dream," a great message. Or maybe like me, you don't remember those, you weren't born, but you might remember Barack Obama in 2008. He had a great message. He said, "Yes, we can." That was his message. "Yes, we can." And so you might remember these messages of modern history, from Winston Churchill all the way to Barack Obama, and maybe there's others in between too, that are notable in the history archives. But we want to suggest that none of these messages come close to this message that we want to concern you with tonight. And that is not because it's a message of men at all. It's nothing to do with whoever would take to this platform. It is because it is the Word of God. And this is what God and his Word wants you to know. He wants you to know about so great salvation. And there is no greater message than that. No greater message that this world has ever or will ever know. So great salvation. You know, as I come to my Bible, I see that there are numerous examples of great deliverance. You know, you might remember well-known stories like Noah and the Ark. Oh, how Noah and his family and the animals were delivered from the wrath of God upon this wicked world. When God judged the world in the flood, you might remember how Noah was saved through the Ark. A great salvation, you say. A great deliverance. But tonight we're thinking about a greater salvation still. Maybe you remember the children of Israel as they were slaves in Egypt under the tyrannical taskmaster of Pharaoh. And you might remember how God delivered them. You might remember some of those plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians to deliver the children of Israel and deliver them into a promised land. And you might say, that was a great example of deliverance. That was a great salvation. But we want to tell you this. That the message that we're concerned with tonight, the message that we're preaching, the message of the gospel, it concerns a salvation that is greater than Noah and the Ark, a deliverance that is greater than the children of Israel out of Egypt. We are thinking tonight about how a soul can be saved, not just for now, but for eternity. We are thinking about how a soul can be passed, the Bible says, from death to life. That's what we're thinking about tonight. And it is described as so great salvation. Now, I just want to think of that. Let's see, a few minutes. We just want to think about that very simply with reference to some of the verses that we have read through the Old Testament. You see, we thought in Psalm 77 about so great a God. And then in Exodus in chapter 32, we thought about so great a sin. And in Psalm 103, we thought about so great a mercy. And it's just some of these things that we want to loosely touch on to emphasize the reason why the gospel and the message that we are preaching and the salvation that God is offering through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed so great. Because you see, the fact that there is so great a God and the fact that there is so great a sin just demonstrates the reason why this is so great a salvation. Because there cannot be two things further apart than so great a God and so great a sin. And yet, because of the mercy of God, because there is today so great a mercy, God has made a way possible so that you and I, who have indeed committed so great a sin, can be reconciled and brought back into a relationship with so great a God. That's why it's so great, because there is a great gulf between these two things, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he can bring the sinner back into a right relationship with God again. That's why it's so great as salvation. And so we just want to think very simply about three things. We want to think about the span that has been exceeded. And then we want to think about the scope and its embrace. And we want to think about the security that is ensured. The span that has been exceeded. Love it or hate it, HS2 is happening. Now, I wasn't a fan of HS2. I remember learning about it at school and how it was going to cost back then $30 billion. And I thought, goodness me, this is a lot of money. And now it's in the trillions, who knows. And I wasn't really a fan of it. But I tell you what, now that it started, it kind of excites me. And on Saturday, we were driving from Coesville and we were driving up to Water Rorton. And we passed underneath these great viaducts that are being built as part of HS2. These viaducts that will ferry all these passengers from London to Birmingham. And I tell you what, I was looking up at these viaducts and I was looking at the distance and it spanned. And I thought, wow, what a piece of civil engineering. That is a great distance span there in that bridge. But you know what? That's not the greatest piece of civil engineering on the HS2 project. In fact, I found out, doing a bit of research, that the greatest viaduct on the HS2 railway project is some incredible 3.4 kilometres long. And I think, wow, that's a great distance that has been spanned. 3.4 kilometres. Tell you what, it's got nothing on our friends over in China. They have a bridge that spans, and I should tell you exactly, 164.8 kilometers. That's the great distance that is spanned as part of the train link that links Shanghai and Beijing. 164 kilometers long. You say that's a big distance. And it's been spanned. It's been bridged. How about this? That there is a distance even greater that has been spanned. You say, what distance is that? The distance between so great a God and so great a sin. That is an immeasurable distance. Two things cannot be further apart. God is light. We told you that yesterday. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is holy in all his ways. He is righteous in all his works. He is so great a God. And as for we, the Bible tells us we've sinned and come short. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's what we are. God is light, and men love darkness rather than light. That's what the Bible tells us, for their deeds were evil. The Lord is righteous. There is none righteous, the Bible tells us. No, not one. The Lord is holy, and we are unholy. You get the gist. So great a God. So great a sin. That is a great big span. And I tell you what, no mere man can bridge it. Doesn't matter what you try. Doesn't matter if you try and live the best, most upright, most moral of lives. You will never span that great expanse. You will never get yourself from being in a position of having committed so great a sin and bring yourself into a right relationship with God. It just will not, cannot happen. But this is why it's so great a salvation. This is why the message that we have is so amazing and so wonderful, because there is one. There is one who has exceeded the span. There is one who can bring you and I as sinners back into a right relationship with God again. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy in chapter 2. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So we want to tell you tonight with absolute confidence that the span has been exceeded. And the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, he has done the work so that you and I can be brought back into a right relationship with so great a God. The span exceeded. The scope embraced. That's another reason why it's so great, a gospel. We quoted there 1 Timothy in chapter 2. He gave himself a ransom for all. We made it very clear. Every time the gospel has been preached, twice yesterday and by Paul today, that the gospel is for all. There's none that's excluded from it. It's for the old and for the young. It's for the rich and for the poor. It's for all. You know, that is a message that has an embrace. An embrace like the which the world has never, ever seen. You see, we're talking about the scope. Now, if you were to define the word scope, you'll find that it has the idea of the area. And so if it has the idea of an area, that tells me that there's multiple dimensions. There's a length, and there's a breadth, and there's a height, and there's a depth. And I want to tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he died upon the cross, there's an all-embracing, all-encompassing reach. And it reaches you and I. Here in Kozel, in 2026. There's a breadth to it. Paul's quoting John chapter 3, verse 16. For a God so loved the world. That's the entire world. You know, I was learning tonight that as of today, how are you about this? This is up to date. As of today, the population of the world is 8.3 billion, approximately. You'll have to take my word on that. 8.3 billion. And the Lord Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. Guess what? It is sufficient for all 8.3 billion. More than that. For all those that will be born. There's an embrace to it. It covers the world. So there's a breadth to it. More than that, there's a depth to it. There's a depth to it. You know, the Apostle Paul, he could write to Timothy. We quoted from 1 Timothy 2. He could write in 1 Timothy 1 concerning this. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But he doesn't stop there. Of whom I am chief. You know, maybe it is as Paul was speaking. You thought to yourself, you know, I am that broken thing. Maybe it is you're thinking, you know, you don't appreciate just how broken I am and just how sin has really ruined my life and just to the depths that I have gone. But we want to tell you this, there's so great a salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his dying upon the cross, he has made a provision so that all can be saved. The whole world can be saved. Even the very worst of sinners. So there's a span that's been exceeded. There's a scope that has been embraced. I'll say this and then I'm done. There's a security that's been ensured. That's why it's so great a salvation. We have absolute confidence in the message that we're preaching. We have absolute confidence that if you would but repent towards God and trust his Son for salvation, we have absolute confidence on the authority of God's word that you will be saved. It's not something you have to do again tomorrow. If you humble yourself as a sinner and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, he will save you. That's what was preached yesterday. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We say that with absolute confidence. There's a surety and a security when you come to Christ for salvation. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Because my Bible tells me this, 1 Corinthians from chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen. And so you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly laid down his life upon the cross. But he took it up again on the third day. And he was seen of many. Many people could testify that they had seen the risen Lord. They could see the print of the nails in his hands and his spear-pierced side. And they could see him and handle him and talk with him. And they had seen the risen Lord. You say, now why is that so important? Because it proves this. That the righteous claims of so great a God had been fully satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave himself a ransom for all, God was satisfied. Everything that needed to be done to deal with the problem of sin and to deal with the penalty of sin, it had been done once for all, forever, and God was satisfied. There was a basis that had been made so that God could be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So everything had been done totally to the satisfaction of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact he was seen, proves it. That we have indeed today to tell you that there is so great a salvation in him. So great a salvation. The span that has been exceeded. How can so great a sinner be brought back into a right relationship with so great a God? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself a ransom for all. So great a span, so great a scope, it embraces all. So great a surety, so great a security, that if you come and trust him for your soul's salvation tonight, you will be saved for all eternity. Sins forgiven, as far as the east is from the west, we read that, didn't we? Peace with God, heaven as your home. This is so great a salvation. Shall we pray?